The United States has spent billions of dollars on the reconstruction of Afghanistan, but alerts and reports by the Special Inspector General of Afghan Reconstruction have found that many projects are incomplete, badly constructed, not wanted, or in the case of a prison in northern Afghanistan, falling apart before the project has even been finished. Jamie Tarabay, a former Baghdad bureau chief for NPR, now a senior staff writer for Al Jazeera America, is the author of a report called Afghanistan and the Bottom Line. I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Earlier this week, John F. Sopko, the Special Inspector General for Afghan Reconstruction, sent a letter to the State Department that detailed a whole range of problems with that prison in Baghlan province in northern Afghanistan. What's gone wrong with that project?
Well, I think from the start, and this is really indicative of so many projects that have occurred in Afghanistan in terms of whether the planning stage, whether all the right questions have been done, whether all the surveying of the environment have been fulfilled. This was a prison originally built to house about 500 inmates. I'm not a big person with terms of bricks and construction and all those sorts of things, but apparently it is very easily compromised because apparently it's easy to take the mortar out between the bricks, and so these buildings can fall apart. One of them already has been demolished, and to sort of further compound the difficulties, it's actually built on a seismic fault line without any safeguards.
And nobody thought about that as a problem for any kind of building, let alone a prison? Now, how much do we know how much that we've spent on this prison that's falling apart?
At least $8.8 million, and then the cost eventually went up to $11.3 million. I'm presuming that the contractor has been paid, because in most of these cases, the contractors have always been paid in full, even when the project hasn't been completed, and even if it is a faulty construction.
And are the contractors American contractors, or are they Afghan contractors? Is part of this a way of just getting money into the Afghan economy?
This is the biggest difference that I have seen in Afghanistan reconstruction versus Iraq reconstruction. The Afghan Reconstruction Fund was really primed as what they called it was Afghan first. So it would get contracted out to Afghans as a way of building their own economy, growing their workforce. So these are all largely Afghan contractors.
Although the building's falling apart. Since 2001, the U.S. government has spent $80 billion on Afghanistan's reconstruction. Has the money gone to a lot of projects like this, or are there projects we can feel good about?
Well, at least half of that has gone to paying the salaries of the Afghan security forces, the Afghan National Army and the Afghan police. So a big chunk of that has gone towards putting together this force that essentially one hopes will be able to maintain security in Afghanistan after we've all gone. There have been programs that have been, you know, I mean, USAID today at an oversight committee on the Hill said that after the September 11 attacks, there were, you know, a few hundred thousand, mainly boys in school in Afghanistan. Now it's over 8 million kids in school, and more than a third of them are actually girls. So, you know, they speak to statistics like the infant mortality rate has gone up, or life expectancy has gone up, but they don't actually point to specific programs that have worked. Even the literacy program for the Afghan security forces was actually taken off basic training by the Afghan Defense Ministry. So the literacy rate of the Afghan security forces is extremely low as well. So it's really difficult. And I think that's one of the challenges that the Special Inspector General has been sort of confronting, is how can you quantify success?
Do we even know how much money actually has gone there? I remember reading about Iraq, where bales of money would be shipped into Iraq and nobody knew where it went. The same thing happening here?
I remember very vividly being on Black Hawks and seeing, American officers honestly handcuffed to lockboxes that you knew were full of cash, because that was what they needed to pay people for things. And that certainly happened in Afghanistan as well. $80 billion of the reconstruction money has gone to places in Afghanistan. How much of it has actually gone towards actual projects and how much of it has actually gone into people's pockets and then left the country at one point? I write in my story that people, you know, at the airport in Kabul would watch as pallets of cash would be loaded onto planes and flown out of the country. So,
and then what do they do? Just open up the bomb bay and let the money fly out?
Something like that.
Is part of the problem with Afghan reconstruction that we have poured these $1 billion into a country that has no reliable banking system?
Yeah, you know, everyone that I've spoken to has said too much, too soon, and even the Afghans will say that as well. So, you know, when the Kabul Bank nearly fell apart in 2011 because of this massive Ponzi scheme, and, you know, it was almost like the Afghan government had to then pay somewhere in the vicinity of $900 million to keep the bank afloat. So if there's not even the systems aren't in place to provide like a really reliable basis for an economy, then that doesn't really speak to how well the rest of it's going to go.
Well, you also write that customs officers at the Kabul airport would watch as bundles of currency estimated at around $1 billion a year would just be taken out of the country in suitcases that were being carried by well-dressed Afghan travelers. Anybody have any idea where that money went?
A lot of it went to Dubai. You know, a lot of it went out
Dubai
of the country.
Dubai doesn't need the money.
But, you know, these are people who had diplomatic immunity, so their bags were never searched and they were never sort of expected to pay tax or anything on all this money.
My guest is Jamie Tarabay. We are talking about what's happening in Afghanistan and an article report that she's written called Afghanistan and the Bottom Line. The Special Inspector General of Afghanistan Reconstruction, it's called SIGAR.
SIGAR, yeah.
That was established in 2009. Why was it established a full 8 years after we invaded the country?
You know, that is a great question. And that is something that I can't even get an answer to. When I rang, you know, some of the, even the people who were involved with creating SIGAR, I've put calls to so many people on the Hill and people who are no longer on the Hill, and I didn't get an answer from anyone. It was very, very difficult.
Well, SIGAR reports have detailed a number of projects that have been bungled, including unsafe schools, faulty foundations, moldy ceilings, a $34 million command and control center, which military commanders in Afghanistan said there was no need for, a full 3 years before the project was finished.
Yeah, that's a very famous the $34 million headquarters at Camp Leatherneck. It's as big as a football field. It was, you know, amazing sort of lecture auditorium with space and theater and
intended for the U.S. Marines.
Intended for the forces who were there, who were moving out at the time, and said, "We don't need it. We're perfectly content with our plywood headquarters, and there's no one coming in to replace us, so please don't do this."
So is it just going to sit empty?
Unless the Afghans use it, yes.
The U.S. government also bought 16,000 water pumps for Helmand province. It's unclear if anybody wants those pumps.
No. Well, but they didn't need it. They already had an irrigation system in place that was working perfectly fine. And this really raises a lot of questions on how these decisions get made. And any time you try to find, you know, where the buck stopped and who's accountable, these are all the questions that you never really understood or you never got answered.
Inspectors found that a $19 million border police base in Nangarhar province was being used as a chicken coop.
I know.
Who's gotten to decide what would be a good reconstruction project in Afghanistan?
You know, and that's an excellent question. I think that this is all the purview of the DOD, Defense Department, State Department, USAID. And they're the ones who really decide where all of these things go, what kind of eyes we would have on the decision-making process. That's not really clear. I think that SIGAR has been trying really hard to find answers, to try to hold people accountable. You know, there was the situation that I write about in my story about these 16 airplanes that got flown over from Europe. And John Sopko, the inspector general, describes it even as they were flying to Afghanistan, pieces of the planes were falling out of the sky. And the Pentagon inspector general came away and said that this was a lesson learned. And the top acquisition official for the Air Force said the same thing. But yet No one is held accountable. No one is no one's resigned. No, you know, and it's just people actually getting the person who approved the camp leather neck headquarters actually got promoted.
John Zupko also described U.S. money going to, quote, horrible clinics where some kid had her teeth pulled by some rusty wrench and newborns washed and untreated in untreated water. So do you think that we're doing well on the hearts and minds front here?
Well, one of the things that one of these cigar officials told me is that when Afghans watch this money come in and they see it being corrupted, that turns the people against the people who are giving all the money. And that really, you know, the idea, I mean, the story about this clinic is really, it's dreadful. You know, the people at the clinic are paying a neighbor for a generator to light three light bulbs. And, you know, the person who built the clinic built a second floor, which wasn't safe and wasn't authorized. And you know, you can actually see the video that NBC News did of this clinic. The military at the same time had put out a press release saying that this facility was fantastic. But then they haven't even gone to inspect the site, so they don't even know.
But we often hear about corruption within the Afghan government. Are you saying that they are just seeing corruption from the way the U.S. is dealing with this and saying, well, that's the way things are done?
I think when you see when bribery is literally a line item in budgeting and you know that you cannot get a contract approved unless you pay a kickback or you can't get supplies unless you pay a kickback. And to know that there's so much money to swim around in that there's never going to be any real safeguards or any ability to say, okay, that's where it stops. It needs to stop now because it's a finite pool of money.
Well, has anybody been charged with any crime by Sigar?
There have been people in the army who have actually been convicted and sentenced and imprisoned. Sigar officials have gone and testified in Afghanistan on local cases. And there was at least one situation where an Afghan contractor who was negligent in the building of that culvert, the roads, and putting in a prevention, like a grate, so militants couldn't put bombs underneath. Apparently, an investigation found that at least two American soldiers were killed because of that negligence, and that Afghan contractor was then charged with negligent homicide.
But Zupko and Sigar have come into conflict with the U.S. government as well.
Yeah, they're not. It's interesting. It's a contentious
U.S.
relationship.
Agency that. Yep. Yep. Is fighting with its own government. You're right, Afghanistan cannot operate without foreign donors. Do we have much of a choice but to continue pumping money into the country?
I think what we have a choice in is how we can verify where it goes. And this is really the responsibility of the people on the Hill in charge of these appropriations and procurement. And they're the ones who can choose to green light programs and ask for conditions that can verify access and oversight and those sorts of things. I don't think that we can walk away from Afghanistan.
Well, Jamie, we have just seconds left, but elections are being held. Do we have any hope that a new government will be better than the Karzai government?
I'm hopeful. Whether it will happen or not is another thing entirely.
Well, there are already complaints about voting irregularities.
And that I think is always going to happen no matter what.
So you're going to make me cry, Jamie.
I'm sorry.
Jamie Tarabay is a senior staff writer at Al Jazeera America. She's written a report called Afghanistan and the Bottom Line. Jamie, thank you so much for being on our show
today. It has been such a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You've been a bearer of such bad news.